Hello, everyone. Larry Du Bois here, and we are recording an episode for First Love Radio, a broadcast, and it's number 77. And you can catch that on firstloveradio.org or go to christbiblechurch.org, and you can get the link there. I will be on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for a half-hour program, and it is a repeat the following day on Sunday, 7 a.m. Now, if you're unable to tune in then, of course, you can listen to the recorded podcast by going to my website, sharingyourfaithradio.com, and I have virtually all the platforms out there. It won't be hard to find me. I put it on Facebook and YouTube, etc. And anyway, let's go ahead and start our episode. Let's see here. Click these buttons. All right. Well, I've entitled this one, I Gave at the Office, and then a subheading, But Christ Gave at the Cross. So there is a little bit of a story behind this. I first was thinking of the office of Christ. What office did he hold? We have offices in the church, if you will, the gifts listed in Ephesians. I was listening to a radio program, Iron Sharpens Iron, the other day with Brother Ryan Denton on there. He's written some books and things. He's a street evangelist like myself. Anyway, he had talked about, you know, the office of evangelists, and is that around for today and that. But that got me thinking, you know, Christ is called the apostle. He is the great apostle. He is the apostle, means just one sent. But we think of him holding offices such as prophet, priest, and king. Now, in the history of Israel, no one person held all three offices. You had a king, and a lot of times the king, of course, in charge of the nation, he wasn't allowed to do anything that had to do with the priestly duties. So he couldn't take on the role of a priest, and he got in trouble a lot for that. There's various instances throughout the Old Testament concerning that. Now, there was someone such as Samuel, who I believe he was a priest and as well as a prophet. But no one held all three offices except our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to show that, but first I'm going to go into we're going to show the gospel as well, by the way, but I'm going to go into a little testimony here. And this all started, we were out witnessing. This was on the streets of Seattle, and it was a Saturday night. I was out there with my friend. And I'll give you his first name only, Bob. And we've done a lot of street ministry together over the years. And we were witnessing, it was late summer, and we were down in the area of the ferry dock, out in the warehouse areas, going through the highway and byways. We didn't realize there was actually a football game going on that night. So at a certain time, it was an exhibition game, and it got out, and so we had extra crowds. Well, we brought plenty of tracks. So we were handing out tracks. Typically, we'd go through an alley such as this one, you know, highways and byways. But we met a man on the corner, and Bob went up to hand him a track, and the guy says, I gave it the office. And so Bob just instinctively says to him, you gave nothing, but Christ gave it all at the cross. Well, this was quite startling to the man. I don't know if he expected that kind of response from us. The wife actually was kind of on our side, believe it or not. She was trying to hit her husband with her purse or something, almost it looked like. But anyway, we think of sometimes when we're handing out tracts, you know, we laughed about it later because we thought, well, maybe, Bob, maybe you were a little over the top. you know. But you never know. I found these scriptures. Of course, you can always justify your behavior possibly by bringing up some scriptures. But I put save the day text. Proverbs 28:23, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. And then I found this passage interesting enough in 1 Samuel there about King Saul. It says, then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. Well, the news was about a wartime, and it was one people group, they were picking on these other people, and it aroused Saul's anger. But it was the Spirit of God. We don't think much of that. We think that, you know, if we get angry, it's generally in the flesh, you know. But there is a righteous anger. So we don't ever know. Sometimes, you know, we try to justify our outbursts by saying it was righteous anger, but maybe sometimes it is. I did run across a passage a while back that made me think about Jesus, you know, and his ministry. And he was in the temple, remember, throwing out the money changers? And he was definitely angry. He had a whip he made out of cord there. He's whipping the people, not the people, but, you know, get these sacrifices out of here. And he chased them out. And then immediately after that, it says that he ministered to the people and he got healing. He was doing healing in that. And I thought, well, maybe that's a litmus test if it is righteous anger. Of course, we know Jesus never sinned. And so he would not have sinned in his anger. And he was able to minister freely after that. I often think sometimes when I've blown it out there on the streets and I've gotten maybe out of my composure, I need to take a break. I need to set one out. And that would indicate that I don't think it's righteous anger at that time. I think it's my own, and I have to go back to the drawing board and have a little quiet time with the Lord and compose myself, repent, and so on and so forth. But if you can continue doing ministry without skipping a beat, it's not foolproof, but it's possible it may be a sign that it is a righteous anger that you experience. But anyway, it got me to thinking about this office. And of course, we think Christ as prophet. There's many verses on this. I'm just going to pick out a couple main ones on these. Christ as a prophet, it talks about this in Acts 3. This is when Peter was preaching to the people on the day during the time of Pentecost, right after that. And he was bringing up Old Testament prophecies. And he said, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Well, Peter, in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he was contributing this to Jesus. This was a fulfillment of Jesus being the prophet. And many people came to John the Baptist during his ministry and they said, are you the prophet that was to come? So they understood this passage. And of course he said, no, he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He was not the prophet. He was not the Messiah. But there is a good scripture. And of course I got my little picture there I found about depicting an Old Testament prophet. So next we go, Christ as priest. A priest would intercede for the people, make atonement. It was a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of rituals they went through in the Old Testament. They were to be carefully followed. And of course, this is a great verse in Hebrews 6:20. It says, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And without getting too far into that, the idea there is Jesus was called as priest, not according to Aaron. Aaron's priesthood had an end because the guys would die. But Jesus would live on forever. He would have a perpetual priesthood to the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was a mysterious person. in the Old Testament that had no beginning or end of days. He was like the Son of God. It was a little bit of mystery there, but he had a priesthood that lasted forever, and that's what Jesus was given, was this high priest position, but not according to Aaron. And then we think of Christ as king, the office of king, and of course he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Matthew 27, verse 11, now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, it is as you say. So he admitted that he was, in fact, the King of the Jews. That's what the placard said above his cross when he was crucified. Pontius Pilate had put that inscription up there in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. And, of course, the Pharisees came to him and said, don't write he is the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, what is written is written. So he left it, and that was his crime, being the King of the Jews. They had crucified him. They had brutally killed him without a cause. About the gospel. And what is, in fact, the gospel? What is all of this about Jesus fulfilling these offices as prophet, priest, and king? Jesus is many things. He is Lord of all. He is a Savior. It says through the scriptures that Jesus Christ, being the firstborn over all creation, he'd been ordained to come into the world as a sacrifice. But let's just go through the paragraph I put up here. Through the first man, Adam, all of mankind is separated from God and cannot work our way back by religion or good works. We are lost in a sinful condition and destined to eternal damnation. Jesus Christ is God who came to earth as a man. He lived a perfect life, something we could not do. He died on the cross and shed his own blood to pay the penalty for our sins. He rose from the dead and he is alive. Turn from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, and you will have eternal life. The Holy Spirit agrees by giving believers new birth. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is a gift of God. Receive him today, won't you, my friend? If you have not ever received Christ, it said he came unto his own, but his own would not receive him. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the right, or gave them the power to become children of God to those who believe on his name. And so he must be received. There is an urgency that you believe on Christ. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It tells us, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And there is an urgency. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't put it off. We never know, my friends, when we will die. Jesus is coming back. And we live in uncertain times, and many think that his return is very near. But whether you meet him in his return to this earth or in your death, you'll all have to stand before Jesus. It says it has been appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But we are called to come to him. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger. Whoever comes to me will never thirst. He said, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. And this is Jesus of Nazareth, coming into the world, being born of a virgin, living a sinless life. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And he was the only human. He's called the last Adam, the second man from heaven, the only human that could ever live perfectly under God's law. All of us have gone astray, everyone, each to his own way, like sheep. that there's none righteous, not even one, that we are separated from God, that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We must be brought to life. We must be regenerated. It is by his mercy that he saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us through the regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus himself said, "You must be born again, or you will not see the kingdom of God." Born from above, this is a work of God. It's having a new spirit, a new heart. The heart is deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus would give us a new heart, that he would give us that righteousness that we need, that we cannot obtain by ourselves. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. And so he is a sacrificial lamb, if you will. He is the one who came and bore all of our sins in his own body on the cross. But he did not stay in the grave because death could not hold him in its grip. That he rose from the grave on the third day, as it is written. And he is alive forevermore. He ascended into heaven and he's at the Father's right hand. Sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and coming again to judge the living and the dead. And we are called to repent and believe in this gospel. The gospel means good news. And it is certainly good news if you understood the ramifications of your own sin. It says that he who believes in the Son of God has eternal life. He who does not believe will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And so we're under his wrath, his condemnation, but we can be freed. Jesus said, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." It tells us there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so, my friends, today, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so. Call on him today. And if you're a believer out there that already knows the Lord, go out and witness for Christ. There's not a whole lot of time left. There again is an urgency. It says this gospel must be first preached into all the world and then the end will come. And so it is a great, nothing more important that you could do for your friend or neighbor or loved one or a stranger than to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. So I would encourage you to get out there today and witness for Christ. Ask God to give you the strength, the help, and the power to be his witnesses. And until we meet again in our next video, God bless you, and thank you for watching.